numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. That right there is my little buddy Kelly Bidley, everybody. On a Friday morning, a football Friday. How you doing, man?
Doing well, Gil. How we doing?
Doing very well. Well, good, man. You look like auctioneer style right there.
Doing well. Yeah. Doing well.
What a day of college football yesterday. My goodness. We're down to the Final Four. Semis are set. We'll get in all of that here momentarily. On the show today, Steve Fezzik makes his triumphant return to the show after an absence last week. He was sick last week. He will be back, but in a different hour, right? He's on next hour.
Mm-hmm.
He needed an early call this morning, so Fez on next hour with us for all of his thoughts on the college football semis and more, everything that's on his mind. JVT will join us. Zach Cohen, who was not with us yesterday, will join us to talk NBA and NFL Week 18. JVT will talk. JVT will be the guy who gets the first crack at these semifinal numbers for us. See what his thoughts are on Indiana, Oregon, and Ole Miss in Miami. Oh, boy. Looking forward to it. Hey, a little tennis on the show today as well.
That's right.
A little tennis prop talk. I like it. Let's go tennis. We're back. Not quite yet, but we're almost there. I don't do United Cup. But
I was going to say, I saw someone playing this morning.
United Cup has started. Baez wins.
Is that the, like, the official start? Is the official start this United Cup?
It's the beginning. Beginning of the season, yeah. The break WTA ATP tournaments start for reals next week. Mm. Looking forward to that. And we'll do every NFL game, week 18, we'll do it all. Can we begin in reverse order? Can we talk about the Ole Miss Georgia game first?
Yeah, it's probably a good idea.
Just because the other two were more meh.
Yeah, it was the best game of the day and not even close, yeah.
I ended up going 2-2 in my ATS in the pre-flop in the semis. I did not get this one. I had Georgia, which I think so many people did. And in the end, what a football game. We got to talk about Kirby Smart. First of all, Ole Miss gets on the board first with two Lucas Carnero field goals, one from 55, one from 56.
Ice, man. That was good.
Every time there's a great college player now, I always make the comment. I was like, you know who'd look good in burgundy and gold? This Lucas Carnero character would look awesome. 6-0 Ole Miss early, but then Georgia would come back with that 7-play, 75-yard drive. Gunnar Stockton in from 12 out, 7-6. Georgia early third, early second quarter. Mississippi responds, 8-play, 75 yards and 304. Trinidad Chambliss, just phenomenal in this ball game. 30 for 46 for 362 and two touchdowns. Is that good enough for you?
Yep.
This one was to a 47-year-old tight end Luke Haas from 3 out. Check out Luke Haas, by the way.
46. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I saw it.
It's like they decided to give their old strength coach a go at it. 3 out. 2-point try fails. 12-7 Ole Miss. 10:33 left in the second quarter. And then Georgia responds immediately. 12 plays, 75 yards. Stockton in from 1. 14-12. Dogs with 4:05 left in the second quarter. That was after 3 third down conversions on that drive. The second of which was a 3rd-and-13 at their own 35, where Stockton went to Zachariah Branch for 15, Branch looked doomed for a loss, but he ducked the defender and somehow got to the sticks. And then the 3rd-and-12 at the Ole Miss 27, Stockton sidearmed it to Cash Jones for 25 down to the 1 just before he got trucked. Stockton just got destroyed on that play. It was just a great play by him. Ole Miss, 2nd-and-4 at their own 42. Here's where Georgia took a two-score lead. Remember, they're up 14-12 now. Kewon Lacy for 4 fumbles, scoop and score from Dalen Everett, 46 yards to Bader, 21-12. Georgia, 2:34 left in the second quarter. And then Mississippi, Ole Miss just completely botched. First of all, 3 and out after a huge drop by Daquan Wright on the second-to-last drive of the half. And then on the last drive of the half, they just completely botched the clock. Don't have any timeouts left. Thought they could spike it. Then realized, oh, no, it's 4th down. We got to do the fire drill. Didn't work.
Disaster, yeah.
Disaster. 21-12 Georgia at the half. And if you're a Georgia backer, I guess you were okay right now. You're like, okay, well, we're up 9, but that sure didn't feel that great, I guess. Ole Miss, first time they had the ball second half. 4th-and-1, their own 49, Lacy stuffed by Rashawn Dinkins. Georgia then gets a Peyton Woodring 55-yard field goal try short. Usually he's if not a sure thing, you would expect more on that one. Still, 21-12, and then Ole Miss, 7-play, 63 yards, Fourth and three at the Georgia 44. Chambliss to Harrison Wallace for 36, 22 of which was yak. 2 plays later, Lacey in from 21 to 19, Georgia. 4:51 left third quarter. Then Georgia with a three and out, but a fake punt from their own 30. Landon rolled down to Lawson Lucky for 16. 2 plays later, Stockton to Colby Young for 31. Another amazing play by Stockton where he brings in the defender only to hit his receiver before getting destroyed. He was just taking hits. That led to a Woodring 37-yard field goal. 24-19, Dogs with 32nd left in the third quarter. Then Ole Miss with an insane 3rd-and-7 conversion for their own 28 from Chambliss, scrambling for his life, gets it to Lacey for 7, then to Harrison Wallace, 3rd-for-44, to the Georgia 20. 2 plays later, Lacey in from 5, 25-24. This time the two-point try is good to Wallace. 27-24, Ole Miss with 11:29 left. And then, well, we got to talk about Kirby Smart. Georgia, 3 and out. They run the offensive unit back out after the punt team had lined up. 4th and 2 at their own 33. Again, we're talking about, like, you know, 11 minutes left in the ball game, down 3. Were you shocked that they snapped this ball, that they actually went for it?
Of course.
Stockton sacked. Ole Miss set up at the Georgia 23, 2 plays, Chambliss to Wallace from 14 out, 34-24, Ole Miss, 9:02 left. Still plenty of time, down 2 scores now for Georgia. Man, did this get, did things change in this one? Georgia takes 1:59 off the clock to go 6 plays, 75 yards. We've seen Gunnar Stockton do this so many times. Stockton to Branch from 18 out, 34-31, Ole Miss with 7:03 left. All Georgia needed to do is just figure out a way to get Ole Miss off the field, for God's sakes. And you know what they figured out? They figured out that if the ref did not call a egregious face mask, that's how they get him off the field. And that's what happened. Ole Miss a 3 and out after the officials completely miss an egregious face mask on 2nd down.
Oh, so bad.
Just completely missed it.
There was a few terribly missed calls in this.
But that was the worst of the worst. Like, how does everybody miss that? So Georgia gets the ball back down 3, 4th and 9 at their own 48. This is it. Stockton to Branch for 17 to the Ole Miss 36. A hold then sets him back. 2 plays later, 2nd and 20 at the Mississippi 46. Stockton to Branch for 11 on a wide receiving screen. Then with 2 minutes left, 3rd and 9, a PI on Kapina Gushikin of Ole Miss. Georgia set up at the 20. Ole Miss has 2 timeouts. Remember, field goal to tie, touchdown, puts the Dogs ahead. 2 plays later, another flag, this time a hold on Gushikin. Georgia set up at the Ole Miss 8. Ole Miss 8. Stockton for 5. Gets to the 3-yard line. Ole Miss calls their 2nd timeout with 1:08 left. Then Chauncey Bowens loses 3. And now Ole Miss uses their last timeout with 1:04 left on the clock. Remember, it's 3rd and goal now at the 6. What do you do if you're Georgia, right? This is the moment where, again, Kirby Smart already did the terrible 4th down call in their own territory that eventually puts up Ole Miss up 10. With 1:04 left, Ole Miss has no way to stop the clock. Remember, you cannot stop Chambliss without the refs missing face masks, right? You got to figure out a way. Ideally, obviously, it's a touchdown. But if you are going to tie this game, you got to figure out a way to milk the clock. A wide receiver screen, perhaps? Yeah. Like a short pass that even if you get tackled, then the clock moves because you're still in bounds? Instead, they go to the end zone incomplete. They get the Woodring 24-yard field goal, 34-34, but 56 seconds left on the clock. Way too much time for Trinidad Chambliss on this day. Ole Miss from their own 25, 5-yard run. Clock moving. Then incomplete when Zion Branch crunches Caden Lee. But 3rd and 5, perfect pass from Chambliss to DeJean Stribling for 40. Field goal range. By the way, then he almost throws a pick on the next pass. Incomplete. 9 seconds left. Carnero, 47-yard field goal. Perfect. Ole Miss on their way. Oh, one more thing. Pitchy woo-woo results in a safety. And I know at least one person, Will Hill, who had +3 live on Georgia.
Oh, God.
What do you even say to him at that point?
Yeah.
As the ball hits the pylon on a terrible lateral attempt. 39-34. Ole Miss on their way to take on Miami in one of the two national semis. It's going to be Indiana and Oregon in the other, which we'll talk about. But that performance yesterday from Ole Miss, I think when I think now, I'm like, okay, of these four teams, how many do you think can legit win the national championship? My answer is three of the four. Like, I just don't buy into Oregon. I know I differ from many in that regard. But I think the way that it's, can Ole Miss, is this what's going to happen? Is Ole Miss going to win it all with Lane Kiffin's departure? Is that what this is going to be all about?
I mean, I would, you know, that's what I'm rooting for. Give me the chaos. I love the chaos in college football. Coach Dibbs, they still go on to win the national championship. I mean, what are we doing here anymore if that's the case?
If I did not have the Indiana 10-1 ticket to win it all, I'd probably feel the same way. I'd probably feel the same
they
way.
They look good, man. Like you said, I mean, that is, I think one of the better games I've seen out of Chambliss all year. From the games that I've caught, I thought he was amazing. The Georgia play call stuff, though, was a disaster. Did you catch Smart after the game too, talking about that fourth down?
No, what'd he say?
So the plan was, because there was an injury on Ole Miss, that's why they ran out the offense. And the whole plan was just to try to draw them off sides, and then they were going to take a delay of game and punt the ball. And that the ball was snapped.
So it wasn't supposed to be snapped?
Oh, so one screw up, but like you're that far deep in your own territory, you're willing to take a delay a game penalty to punt?
Kane's 3-point favorites against Ole Miss on Thursday night, Fiesta Bowl. Indiana 4-point favorites, Peach Bowl following night, Friday night, January 9th, 4-point favorites against Oregon.
CA Miami 2.5 at FanDuel Boyd. Otherwise, three is pretty much everywhere.
I think I like the Canes. I think I like that matchup with that defense. And I like Indiana, of course. Once again, I'm all about the Hoosiers. Wes Reynolds, what a trip.
Yeah.
What a trip he took. We'll talk about those two games on the other side. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Check out the sharpplays.com, unmatched transparency with records updated daily, AI betting analysis, real-time global betting information, and alerts directly from the pros. Scan the QR code for more on the screen. Sharpplays.com, check them out. It's Gil Alexander. Kelly Billy is here as well. Kelly, you okay? You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, just curious. Sorry.
Did just ask you a question off air that you completely ignored.
Oh, it was a question.
Okay. No. It's fine. The Lane Kiffin bonus stuff. Were you aware of this before the game?
Is that what you asked me?
Yeah.
No, I wasn't aware. I'm familiar with the detail, but not, I wasn't concerned enough to like delve in.
Okay. Well, I didn't know the detail of this is LSU covering this. It's LSU covering the incentives. And this was part of the contract negotiation with them. Is that the incentives he had left in his Ole Miss contract?
Right. If they got past this round, he got $500,000.
Right. Yeah. Basically, yeah. Every step of the way, he gets an extra piece of cash that I guess is falling on LSU. I didn't realize that.
Should he get a ring if they win at all? Should he be allowed?
I don't know. Maybe that's in there.
Scola on Twitter. Happy New Year's, fellas. Do you think Kiffin considered hedging his $500,000? I don't know. I don't know how much gamble he has in him. Draco May. Let's see here. Indiana plus 140 and Sabalenka and Iga to win the Australian Open seems like a great way to get a nice number. Oh, let's do a little parlay. Scott Barbarek, oh boy. He goes, the definition of a bad beat. Three-team, 10-point tees. Canes and Hoosiers already home. Just need Georgia to cover 3.5. This one stings. Brutal on the pitchy-pitchy woo-woo.
Yeah.
Copyright Van Pelt. JD in Florida, Lane Kiffin already looking forward to his next dream job at Bama after the coaching malpractice by DeBoer on the 4th-and-1 from his own 35 in a 3-0 game. Oh, there was worse from DeBoer. Let's get to that. Let's go to the start of the day, the Texas Tech Oregon game. Would you say that was one way traffic on Texas Tech?
Oh, yeah, pretty much. I mean, I know JVT was on Oregon, but
Felico was on Oregon.
Yeah, we had a couple.
Okay, so not one way traffic.
But they suck.
Texas Tech was more of a too cool for school. I was on Texas Tech in the end, too.
Yeah, me too.
3-0 Oregon. This one won't take long. 3-0 Oregon. It should have been blown out by halftime.
Right, yeah. It should have been 23-0 by halftime.
Yes. Oregon, that was the final score. Oregon, 4th-and-2 at the 50, more to Kenyon Sadiq for 4, but 4th-and-1 at the Texas Tech 23. Jordan Davison goes right, hit for a 2-yard loss. Texas Tech, a couple drives later, 2nd play, 2nd-and-7 at their own 25. Baron Morton, picked by Brandon Finney Jr. What was Baron Morton doing yesterday? Oregon set up at the Texas Tech 33. They go backwards. They punt. Jesus Christ, they're going the wrong way. As my dad would say. Texas Tech then, Jacoby, 50-yard run, sets up Stone Harrington, 54-yard field goal try, no good. Still 3-0. Oregon then converts a 4th-and-3 at their own 43, then 4th-and-3 at the Texas Tech 39. But 4th-and-goal at the 2, Moore rolls right incomplete. Remember, we were here for that one after the show. It's like, there's a play call. Let's cut off half the field, bunch up all the defenders in one place, and see if we can score this way. Okay. Texas Tech 1st at their own 26. Cameron Dickey fumbles, recovered by Brandon Finney Jr. Oregon set up at the Texas Tech 29, stuffed on 3rd-and-1 at the 20. Finally, Dan Lanning's like, you know what? Maybe we should just kick a field goal, go up 6-0. And he does. Sappington, your boy Atticus Sappington from 39.
Atticus Sappington. Where do you bet at all your Atticus?
Kelly loves that guy.
Just be not paying attention.
Oregon, next drive from their own 22 with 37 seconds left. They get to the Texas Tech 36 with 21 seconds left. They're like, oh, we're going to kick another field goal. Nope, snap through the legs, sets him back. 6-0 at the half. Oregon should have been up way more. Third quarter, Oregon 4th-and-2 at the Texas Tech 33, more for 1. Sadiq wide open. He misses him. Doesn't see him. Then Texas Tech, finally, this game gets a little comfortable for Oregon. 3rd play, 3rd and 11, their own 31. Morton sacked by Mateo Uyangale. Fumbles, recovers by Uyagalale. Why can't I do that? I used to be able to do that. Oregon set up the Texas Tech 6. Davison in from 6, 13-0 Ducks. Then Texas Tech from their own 8, 4th-and-1 at the Oregon 34. Jacoby Williams, 1-yard loss. Oregon 4th-and-2 at the Texas Tech 46. More picked by Ben Roberts. It's like it could have been. It's still 16-0.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't. It was just ridiculous. I don't know if Oregon played. Like, Oregon won 23-0. Should they be happy about themselves? I don't know. Texas Tech set up at their own 45. 3rd-and-goal at the Oregon 9. Morton picked in the end zone by Brandon Vinny Jr. Then Oregon with a 3-and-out, but Texas Tech jumps off sides on the punt. Extends the drive. They get a field goal from Sappington. They get a late touchdown. 23-0 Ducks. Texas Tech's defense did what they were supposed to do. But, again, I don't know what Baron Morton was doing out there yesterday.
I'm with you on Oregon, though, right? It's bizarre to say that after a 23-0 shutout win.
Yeah.
But, like, this should have been way worse. So many missed opportunities by them.
And then Alabama and Indiana, for those of us who have Indiana tickets to win it all. There's nothing about this game that makes us feel bad.
Yeah.
Indiana destroys Alabama 38-3. Destroys them. 3-0, Hoosiers, 2nd quarter, Alabama 3-and-out, but instead they decide to go for it. 4th-and-1 at their own 34. Daniel Hill to Jeremy Bernard for no gain. Stood up by Isaiah Jones. Indiana after a hold, Roman Hemby for 21. 3 plays later, 3rd and 8 at the Alabama 21. Mendoza to Charlie Becker. Great catch. Touchdown, Hoosiers, 10-0, 10:49 left in the 2nd quarter. By the way, Fernando Mendoza, for all of you who thinks he shouldn't have won the Heisman, he's like, yeah, watch this. Then later, Alabama, 3rd and 7 at their 049. Simpson for 9, hit, fumbles, recovered by Isaiah Jones. Indiana proceeds to go 11 plays, 58 yards, and 2:52 from their own 42. Key play, Mendoza, 7-yard rush on a 3rd and 3 at their own 49. 8 plays later, Mendoza to Omar Cooper Jr. from 1 out. 17-0, Indiana at the half. And Kurt Cignetti's got that expression on his face like, this, anything could still happen. We must kill. First possession for Indiana in the 2nd half. 10 plays, 79 yards, 5:40. Mendoza to Elijah Surratt from 24 out. 24-0, Hoosiers. Then Alabama, Austin Mack in. What are we doing? 28-yard field goal to cut it to 24-3.
What was that?
That is the Kalen DeBoer part that I have the most problem with.
Me too. That was I stopped paying attention mainly to the game after that. I was like, you waved the white flag. Like
you're just like, you wave the white flag. You're like, it means more to me not to get shut out than to actually try to win
right.
this football
game. I did the immediate like, oh, when you get the opportunity to go to cut a 3-score game to a 3-score game, you take it every time.
That's it. Next 2 times, Indiana had the ball. 6 plays, 75 yards. Kalen Black in from 25. Next time they had a ball, Roman Hemby in from 18. 38-3, Hoosiers. We have to, can we just take a moment to appreciate what this is, what we're watching here with Indiana?
It's incredible.
Indiana has the most losses in college football history. They're basically in the Big Ten. They were a participation team.
Right, yeah.
In football, right? This basketball is, school. They're basically a participation team.
This is Vanderbilt in the SEC, right?
2022, I think they were 2-7 in the Big Ten. 2023, they were 1-8. And in comes this dude from James Madison in Kurt Cignetti. And this is just the difference in 2 years, ladies and gentlemen. This team is two football games away from not only winning the national championship, but doing it as the first ever 16-0. And there is nothing about them at this moment. It's the reason I made the bet when they beat Oregon the first time. My entire comment after that game was, I think this team can beat anybody in the country. And they continue to do so. And here we have the rematch against Dan Lanning and the Ducks. On one side of the bracket, Ole Miss, Miami on the other. I like both of the favorites, man. I really do. I like both the Hoosiers and the Canes. By the way, the other thing that was going around yesterday, and I this is one of these pet peeves of mine with sports betting. So the college football, the 12-team format began last year. All four teams with a bye lost, right?
Yep.
And then right out of the gates yesterday, then we had obviously the Friday night game, so 0-5, right, on the byes over the 2 years. And then out of the gate yesterday, Texas Tech gets beat by Oregon. So it was 0-6 on this. And I have my buddy in D.C., right, he's like, oh, man, I don't know, we take Indiana. That it's really a thing. That it's like it's six games. It's still a small sample size.
Mm-hmm.
Like people read into, and I don't know, it's 1-7 now. People read into that stuff as if it's meaningful. Maybe it will be. Maybe it will prove to be as time goes on. Rust versus rest kind of thing. But the fact that people immediately like think it's like engraved in stone as a thing, it's like, come on.
Yeah, slam dunk lock for sure.
Kurt Cignetti's like, yeah, watch this.
The a couple more notes from that game. Did you catch Alabama, their worst, hasn't been beaten by at least 35 points in any game since 1998.
It's the worst bowl loss ever.
Any game, and then the worst bowl loss ever.
Yeah.
The worst postseason loss ever for a program that's played in over 101 years, 80 bowl or playoff games.
Who's winning it all right now? Who's winning it all?
It's hard for me to not say Indiana after that yesterday. I'm going to take this a step further. We've been saying this for, what, 2 months now? You bring it up every time I bring up the number one pick odds. Whew, Mendoza looked the part yesterday.
He did. But here's the thing.
The others did not.
The one thing that I am comfortable in saying I have no idea about is what an NFL team will convince themselves of between now and the draft.
Of course. I'm just saying as far as quarterback play.
If it's Dante Moore at number one, I wouldn't be surprised. All it takes is one team to convince themselves or whatever. So that I don't know. But yes, you are absolutely correct about the assessment. JVT, first crack at the semis. Coming up.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Hey, Kelly, I know that you are aware that reaching people is easy. You're a good reacher of people.
Yes. I bring people together.
Yeah, but do you know how to reach the right people? That's the question.
Mm.
That's everything. He says, Mission Media helps your brand do exactly that. Their cross-platform strategies hit fans wherever they're watching or listening, podcasts, connected TV, streaming, digital, all of it. And because Mission Media is the exclusive advertising partner for VSiN, you get direct access to one of the most loyal, engaged, and bet-ready sports audiences in the country. These are fans who respond, engage, and convert. If you want your message in front of people who actually take action, Mission Media makes it happen. Visit VSiN.com/advertise or email us at advertising@VSiN.com. Skill Alexander, that's Kelly Bidlin right there, everybody, my little buddy. Losing weight, but we're not going to talk about that anymore because he's got his goal, and maybe I shouldn't bring it up anymore.
Sorry. Yep.
Okay, there we go. Jonathan Von Tobel joins us now, ladies and gentlemen, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at MeJVT, and along with Stormy Bonatoni, who was on the sidelines yesterday in Miami. He is, of course, co-host of Money Moves, which can be heard here every Monday through Friday, an hour after we go off the air. Mm-hmm. So it's us, it's Prop Points, and then it's Money Moves with Stormy and JVT. Good morning to you, sir. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. You know, I would agree that Kelly is good at reaching, but he reached too far the other day, and I had to talk to HR about it. So I think he's got to calm down the way he can reach out to people.
Hey, it was just a reach, man. There's no touching.
It's like when they call that in football, they go illegal touching. I was like, that's really a metaphor for life. You should not do that in anything in life. All right, John, you get the first crack at the semifinal lines in college football. Before you get to the actual lines, what was the biggest thing you took away from yesterday's trio of games?
So this is one of those where this is not I was right, but I had voiced my concern. I told Kelly this yesterday when we were on the air together because he joined me for a couple of minutes. The whole time that Georgia-Ole Miss line was just hanging out there, you would talk to people and it was like, oh, Georgia's going to roll. Georgia's going to move on. Georgia this. There was Ole Miss. You talk to folks. Hey, what's one of these teams that can't win the national title? It's Ole Miss. There was such an assumption that Georgia was going to win this game and move on with no problems, and yet the line wouldn't budge. There was no real support for it, and then sure enough, we see what happens there yesterday. And I think one of the things that stuck out, and I brought this up yesterday when it came to like the flaws of Georgia when breaking down this game, very quietly they had gotten better, Gil, but they were also a team that coming into this was pretty average in a lot of key categories. They were 74th in expected points added per pass, a success rate through the air. They were middle of the pack. They were a team that had kind of shown some flaws in that regard. And then sure enough, Chambliss comes in there, 360 yards and 2 touchdowns. So it was kind of a shocking but not shocking result at the same time, given the way that game went down. And it was one of those where we were kind of all just staring at it and wondering what was going on. And sure enough, the confidence of many, it turned out to be incorrect. And I thought that was a pretty surprising result yesterday.
Yeah. If I said to you now, okay, 4 teams left, how many do you legit feel can win? Do you feel like all can legit win the title, or can you not say that?
I mean, I think you have to at this point, don't you? I mean, 2 of the teams, I don't want to say we have kind of pushed aside, but Miami was an 8.5-point dog, closed 8-8 against Ohio State. We all kind of thought that Ole Miss wasn't really going to do anything, and they've done it in 2 different ways here against a lowly opponent and then upsetting Georgia the way that they have. Oregon, I think we, you and I and Kelly and a lot of us there in the studio watched a good chunk of that Oregon game. They're a pretty flawed offensive team, but good enough on defense. I don't see why any of them wouldn't be able to win this. Now, I do think the odds are right. I think Indiana is clearly at this point right now the best team in the field, but I do think I would not be shocked if any of these 4 teams won it at this point right now.
Indiana plus 135 to win it all. Oregon and Miami both 3-1, and Ole Miss the long shot at plus 550. Per DraftKings to win the national title. Let's get to the semifinal games. Thursday night, Fiesta Bowl, Miami and Ole Miss. The Canes are 3-point favorites. The total's 52. What are your thoughts?
To me, it's going to be Miami here, and we'll see. There's a couple of like national books that have slipped to that 2.5, to a really juiced 2.5. So if it gets there, for sure. But look, Miami, out of all the concerns we've had here, their lines of scrimmage have been, I think, very, very good. Obviously, this pass rush is absolutely tremendous. It was all over Julian Sain, putting him under duress. And then very quietly through the 2 games, guys, like, they've run the ball effectively. They ran the ball well against Texas A&M. They ran the ball pretty well against Ohio State as well. They were pretty middle of the pack in terms of their efficiency in running the football. But that's gotten better. And as we were discussing yesterday, too, in that studio, look, Carson Beck, he's doing what he needs to do. Those completions for first downs, running the ball, doing what is necessary for this team. This was a group that I've got a national title ticket on at 16-1, and there's a reason. That was very early in the year because they thought they were good enough in the lines of scrimmage to get this done. We should also give them credit. Ole Miss receivers are very good, and I think these big-body DBs for Miami are going to be able to match up well. I think they're going to be able to move on here. So I'll hold out, see if this gets under 3 like one national shop did. But either way, I think 3 is playable there for Miami against Ole Miss.
I am with you on that one. Next night, Peach Bowl, Friday night. Hoosiers, 4-point favorites against the Ducks. Totals 47.5.
I think Oregon's looked really disjointed despite the fact that they have these 2 wins. I mean, you go back to the JMU game, they give up over 500 total yards to James Madison. You know, obviously never really in danger of losing the game, but showing some sort of flaws there. And then yesterday against Texas Tech, I think you give Texas Tech some credit. Their defensive line was great. A lot of bad passes at the line of scrimmage. Also, a lot of bad sacks taken by Dante Moore. A lot of really quizzical play calls on key fourth downs that they weren't able to take advantage. Texas Tech did nothing offensively in that entire game. And yet yet they kept Oregon kept them in it with their inability to execute on offense in many different facets. I think that this is an Oregon team that when you compare them to Indiana, you go back to the first time they played, six sacks, disguising coverages, getting after Dante Moore. You saw some of the ability of Texas Tech to do that again. Why is it going to change this time around? Cignetti and this group, they're playing well. They have, I think, the coaching advantage, which is crazy because 2 years ago, I was going to tell you that Dan Lanning was the best coach in the country. I think Indiana, like we talked about a couple minutes ago, they are the rightful favorite, and I think this is a matchup that works for them. I think they're going to get this done. So for me, it's the two favorites in the semifinals here.
Before I get to your Week 18 NFL thoughts, I brought up something yesterday on air. I'm not sure if I was supposed to because you actually said it off air, but I thought it stuck with me about MVP. Maybe you've talked about it on Money Moves on air as well. But you said your hunch was this feels to you like a Skeens Merrill thing in NL Rookie of the Year a couple seasons ago where it was like a lot of Merrill chatter. And in the end, we find out it's not really that close at all. It's Skeens. You sort of feel about NFL MVP that way? Explain.
Yeah, I mean, I think I kind of feel this way, pretty much with all awards at this point right now. Look, we have no clue what these people are thinking right now. I'll cite last year, Defensive Player of the Year in the NBA. How many people were making the case that Draymond Green should win Defensive Player of the Year? How many times did we see the odds for Draymond Green shrink? And then all of a sudden, what happened? He didn't come close to winning that award. You mentioned the NL Rookie of the Year race. We see Jackson Merrill get to -1,000. And people keep saying, well, that's it. This is going to be it. The odds are reflective of what this is going to happen. He doesn't even come close. I can give you example after example after example where the overall conversation in what we believe to be the real world, aka X or Twitter, is nowhere near what is actually happening among some of these voters. And so here we have, this is not an anti-Drake May thing, by the way, because I know I can already hear, like, you're a hater, you don't understand. I just think that voters at the end of the day, I always say this, and it sounds insulting, and I hate to say it, they are simpletons. And I think a lot of them are going to see Matthew Stafford, despite the fact that he is on a team that did not win the division, which, by the way, one of the games you're going to count against him in that regard is a game in which his team gave up a punt return for a touchdown and couldn't turn away a two-point conversion after a two-play drive in which they gave up a touchdown. That's out of the way, right? I just think they're going to see a dude that might not have an MVP after a storied career that maybe won 13 games and threw for over 40 touchdowns. And I think a lot of them are just going to go, yeah, it's my guy. And they're going to vote for him to win this award. And I think that you can throw out all the adjusted EPAs and you can do all these sort of things. But a lot of the times the voters just gravitate toward the simple narrative. And I think a lot of the times that's going to lead to a guy like Stafford winning an award in a race like this.
Lifetime Achievement Award. It's like Quincy Jones winning at the Grammys. It's like, oh, we got to give Quincy his props here.
I hope John's right. Yeah. That's right.
No, I think that's an interesting take on it. And by the way, everything you're saying about reward markets, we have no idea. We have none.
None.
We don't know. We don't know if these numbers mean anything.
How many times can we – I just gave you two right off the tip. I mean, there's so many times we can go through awards and these late pushes and people trying to make the case for my guy should win it, this should be it, let's flip the odds, all these sort of things, using that as evidence to their point, and then the awards come out and you're like, oh, yeah, like that wasn't even close. I mean, I can give you two more immediately. I mean, Joe Flacco's comeback player of the year. We can go back to Trae Young and Luka Doncic. Trae Young ended this year very strongly his rookie season, and a lot of people were making the case that Trae Young was going to be rookie of the year. It wasn't close. I believe it was either unanimous or I think Luka got every vote but one. But either way, like, again, we don't know what's going to happen. As I always like to say, too, in these sort of things, there's no variance, right? If I'm a voter, I'm not going to like slip and accidentally vote for somebody else. Like,
right.
We have no idea what's going to happen here.
slip and vote for somebody else. All right, real quick, week 18, what, if anything, did you land on?
There's only one, and I this is probably, it's not like really a hipster thing, but I'm going to be like all the other nerds. You call me a Tanner McKee truther. I think he's awesome. I think this Philadelphia Eagles team is going to be well led here against your Washington Commanders. Nothing really on the line, but I think McKee is good enough to get a win here as a 4-point favorite.
Tanner McKee truther, Jonathan Von Tobel.
Yep.
All right. We're all waiting for you later today. Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody, at MeJVT, co-host of Money Moves. And still makes his appearances on Hardwood Handicappers from time to time as well. Yes?
Every week.
Every week.
Every Thursday.
Every Thursday.
No,
all right. With his Clippers hat. Still riding with the Clippers. Thank you, John. Appreciate it, man. Happy
See
New
you guys.
Year. Coming back, we'll start our NFL whip around, and Stevie Fezzik will join us early as well right after that. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. We'll be right back.
Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on the Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas, Derek Stevens, Shangri-La in the desert. It's Gil Alexander. That right there is Kelly Billen, everybody. Producer number 9, so much more than a producer. I have two things to say, Kelly, right off the top.
What's up, bud?
One, I'm here to say that the most underrated flavor of Gatorade is Glacier Cherry.
So you know, okay, yeah.
It's fantastic.
Let me finish your statement on this.
Oh, I'm sorry? No, that's all I got.
So I've brought this up before. I'm going to go second favorite.
It's fantastic.
So I'm going to go second favorite, but yeah. I just pulled up real quick. Apparently, based off surveys, guess what? It's number 2.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay.
Cool Blue, which I always say, when we always roll around a Super Bowl and I go blue. I always make the argument for blue because it has multiple colors that are very popular. Cool Blue being the best. You said you've soured on Cool Blue recently.
I've soured on Blue because every time I'm sick, I drink the Blue, and now I associate it with being sick.
Which I think that makes sense.
Oh, speaking of sick.
That doesn't mean anything bad against Cool Blue, though. That's a you and Cool Blue relationship.
Our own personal relationship that I have with Cool Blue. Speaking of that, and I know you're very curious to know about the update, because earlier in the week I said, what part of a cold, which I have endured this week, which part of a cold do you find more annoying?
This was great conversation out there.
The faucet stage.
Yeah.
Of the nose or the completely stuffed up middle of your face stage, your answer was
no. That was not the original. Original question was the voice versus the faucet nose.
Oh, voice is part and parcel with the stuffed up.
Correct. But, yeah. So that was where I went with for you. Yeah. I'll speak for myself. It's more annoying to try to do the show with the faucet nose. But for the audience, it's probably a little better for us to have that than the really bad voice.
Now I'm over the hump, right?
Yeah, I think I am.
I'm
too,
in the
finally.
End. But you know what stage I'm in now? The one nostril is clear, the other refuses to be clear stage. Are you familiar with that stage? That is an annoying stage.
I am.
Common cold radio. We get tweets of beating the book. Real Knicks had a 3-leg parlay. This doesn't make any sense. He says Georgia minus 6, Georgia first half, Georgia over 30.5. Well, that can't be right. They wouldn't give you a team total, he said. They wouldn't give you a parlay of that. Went to bed disappointed financially. Woke up and found extra $185 in my DraftKings account. Oh, he says, I accidentally took Ole Miss plus 6. That makes sense. Yay for not double-checking my bet. 2026 off to a great start. Well, yes, because if you tried it the other way, they wouldn't have allowed you to. It would have been correlated. Dan Goodwin, I'm a Ducks fan from just north of Bloomington, Indiana. I have 0 Ducks futures, but have 4 bets at 40-1 on IU and 2 on Miami at 20-1, all from early September. He says, hashtag go Ducks. So he still has his fanhood, but his financial stakes are elsewhere. Billy Charlebois, we need an old-school rap daily segment from Gil. It could feature both plus and minus. I'll start from the semis. He says, I'm the type of guy. Goes to Trinidad Chambliss for leaving his drawers in George's hamper. That's LL Cool J, by the way, Kelly. And he said, flip side, Alabama gets the gas face. You know who that is?
Nah.
Third base.
I don't know who that is. I don't know who that is.
Pop Goes the Weasel?
Sure. Oh, hey, I know that one.
Real cool. Because Brooklyn's cool. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Did you catch the halftime show of the Rose Bowl yesterday? No, not the
Rose
Bowl.
Was that the marching bands?
Early. I'm sure they did marching bands. What was the first game? Orange Bowl.
Oh, no, I didn't see it.
Third Eye Blind.
Oh, I didn't see that. I just saw the marching bands of the Rose Bowl.
JVT and I were sitting in here. I think you had just walked out, right? You had just walked out before like halftime. Right, JVT goes, that's the most random halftime show ever. I go, most random but cool. Sorry, I really liked Third Eye Blind when I was like 14 years old, okay?
Nemesis Enforcer, am I the only one that sees Paulie Howard in Signetti scowl? Could be his uncle at a minimum. I don't know if I saw that. You? I don't see that.
No, I just got distracted by a Mandy Davison tweet. One of the worst tweets we've ever received.
Jason McKinney, can you ask Fezzik if he could do the EV math for us regarding the Upside app? Yeah, I'll be sure to. Manny Davison, Cool Blue, Fierce Melon,
ew,
Fierce
ew,
Grape.
Ew.
Honorable mention, Lime Cucumber.
Ew.
What are you doing, Manny?
Oh, God.
What are you doing?
The Fierce ones are way too syrupy. Like, they're fierce with the flavoring.
Jason H11 with an existential question. Please explain how, when you are in the one nostril plug stage, it switches from one nostril to the other. That is also a phenomenon of the one nostril stage.
You mean like when you're like,
he's right.
When you're like laying down in your bed and then you like, you flip sides. And it just, like, it drains to the other side. It's really gross.
Right nostril, can't do a thing right now. Left nostril, clear as a whistle. Jack Olaquire, Gil, Jimmy, Jeff, and I Oh, sorry, the screen went on you. Jimmy, Jeff, and I coming to town today. Do you or Kelly know if the Circus Sportsbook has open seating, or are they all reserved for Sunday's games? If they're all reserved, it was not us putting mustaches and glasses on all of the Derek Stevens pictures. See you soon. Jack, I gotta get to the airport. I love you, man, but I gotta sprint out of here.
I don't know the answer to that question, honestly. And I'm gonna stop pretending to know answers to Circus seating questions after yesterday. With me and Crack both surprised by that, where I was like, why are there like 40 people waiting in line?
For yesterday. Yeah. I think he's asking about Sunday week 18.
No, I know he is. That's what I said. I'm going to stop pretending like I know the answers to these things, because Danny informed me, like, I didn't know these first two rows. So these first two rows down here are open seating. They're first come, first serve. So when we looked around early yesterday, we saw a ton of people sitting down here on both sides.
Yeah.
But the other ones are all reserved. So, yeah, call Circa ahead of time.
Thank you. Thank you for that.
Don't ask me. Don't ask me and Gil.
All right, let's start a little whip around. Let's do it. NFL Week 18.
Let's go. All right. Remember, we don't have an open on.
I thought we had an intro.
That's Wednesdays. Because it says Wednesday.
Oh, because it's the Wednesday whip around.
That's right.
That's right.
All right, first game.
Cool whip.
You want me to tee it up for you?
Yeah.
Panthers and Bucks. 1:30 Pacific time, 4:30 Eastern.
I'm on the Panthers plus +3. Did it during guessing lines. Bucks have lost 7 of 8. Once again, the playoff situation is this. If the Carolina Panthers win this football game, they are your NFC South champions. However, if the Bucks win, if the Bucks manage to buck their 7 of 8 losing streak and win this game, they do not necessarily win the NFC South. They must then wait for the Falcons game against the Saints on Sunday. If the Bucks win and the Falcons win, it is a 3-way tie atop the NFC South, and the Panthers get the tiebreaker based on record in between those three teams themselves. And remember, the Panthers swept the Falcons. That's the difference, including a 30-0 win. So really, if you look at it very simply, Panthers have two paths in. Bucks have only one path in, which is a win and a Falcons loss. But I'm on the Panthers plus +3. You?
Nothing in this one.
It takes away a lot of the gusto of that game that a 3-way possibility is now in there. Because now it's not a winner-take-all necessarily.
Right. Yeah. No, it totally does. Honestly, not having a bet on this game, not even all that excited to watch. Just,
you have been down on this
game.
It's
like, let me know who's going to be in so I can bet against them in the wild card round. Because that's almost where I'm at. I would love to say I think Baker's just so banged up at this point. Yeah. The season's over. Because the other, like, they've arguably been healthier than they have been since like week 2 of the NFL season. They got all their other guys back, but Baker's so hurt. I that's all I keep seeing every single week with him, and he cannot move this offense down the field. I think it's very limiting, and then you know the Panthers. I'm just like, I don't want any part of a Panthers game anymore.
A banged up Baker is still better than a late stage career Teddy Bridgewater, though, as their backup.
Yeah. Yep.
I guess so. By the way, can you name the third string quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
Is Trask still there?
Connor Bazelak. Sure.
I was going to get that one.
Second game on Saturday.
I'm going
to give you. We get a sat here
is
for
Trask on the Cowboys? Where's Kyle Trask?
Kyle Trask. All right. Seahawks Niners. This is for not only the NFC West title, but for the number one seed in the National Football Conference. Seahawks at Niners. This really should be the Sunday night game.
Yeah.
Oh, Seahawks are 1.5-point favorites now on the road against the Niners.
Even more. We've seen Circa right behind us. This happened this morning. 2.5 out on Seattle now. And I see FanDuel Boyd out to 2. I know Dinzik loves the Seahawks this week. And I know a couple people that really like Seattle this week.
I have no play on the side here, but this is not only for the number one seed, right? By the way, if the Niners win, then the Rams have nothing to play for on Sunday because the Rams will then be locked into the 6th seed. That's if the Niners win also. But there's also the games within the games with our betting awards, right? Shanahan versus McDonald for the number one seed. The McCaffrey, Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Offensive player of the year game.
Offensive player of the year game within the game. So much for this game at Levi's Stadium, the nightcap on Saturday.
I think both those games. We talked a little bit about this yesterday. I think the game earlier. I think that Panthers-Bucks game and this game are probably going to influence awards more than they should.
That's a Teteroa McMillan make a Igbuka game.
And specifically for McMillan, right? If he puts up a big game, I kind of have a feeling that shut the door on that award. It's over.
Yeah. Should we wait to do Sunday after Fezzik?
Yeah, and there was something else I was going to tell you, and I just blanked on it, of course.
Well, you know, all that nostril talk.
Oh, I do have a bet in this game. That's what I was going to say. 10-point teaser started with the Niners.
So. Yeah, I'm going to have to throw in a three-leg 10-point teaser as well.
I think there's some fun options this week. Yeah. So, I teased up Niners, gets them to 11.5.
Niners will be in mine as well, for sure.
I'm not there on San Francisco at this number. Seattle offense, though, has not been looking overly impressive. It wouldn't shock me at all if this is a lower-scoring Seattle win.
And then there's the whole Sam Darnold, this is your career thing, right? Hey, Sam, this is kind of your brand. Can you overcome it of not sucking late here? Coming back, Steve Fezzik, an hour early next.